Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's a new team. We clinched the playoff spot, and, you know, it's bigger things to look at down the road. You know, right now, this is a big game. This is a division game. You know, it's a chance to get T-shirts and hats. So, you know, I'm all for it. I'm all for the rivalry and all that stuff, but I'm over the whole my old team stuff. I'm probably going to get a lot of FUs and boos and stuff, but I wouldn't want any other way. That's football. That's competition. That's a high level of competitiveness. So, I'm all for it.
50-minute mark on the fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. We're at Mike's for our big Christmas karaoke event. Get down here. It's free. It's going to be a very merry night, a festive night. Drinks are on me. We'll hang out. We'll talk sports. We'll get into the Christmas season. Great way of maybe getting your Christmas vacation and time off from work started with a night with us. Pat Farmer.
Donnie's already started.
He's on his way down here?
No, Donnie's time off from work already started. I mean, this whole month is basically Christmas for him.
More time off than pomp. Patrick Queen there on going to Baltimore for the first time as an enemy. He had a huge game against the Ravens in the first meeting. He forced that fumble and made that big play right before the half, which gave the Steelers momentum going into the break. They ended up winning the game by 2 points, so that was actually a huge, huge play when it was all said and done.
Yep.
When we did this exercise last time for this game, I said to you that my X factor in the game was Chris Boswell, because Boswell was automatic with field goals, and Tucker, surprisingly, was one of the worst kickers in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a Nostraponi moment for me. That was one of my great clairvoyant takes of the year. So let's run it back here. X factor player for Saturday's game against the Ravens. Mine is not Patrick Queen. It's actually the guy who plays next to him. And that would be Alandon Roberts, our tooth chipper. Although last night it sounded like a little more of tooth extraction with him. You could tell, short week, dude's dialed in for the game on Saturday.
You think he was also like ticked off about the Philly game a little
bit?
I
don't know. I've been in that spot. I mean, we've been in that spot with James Conner especially sometimes where... Oof.
Yeah, but the difference was, and we're very happy for James and all he's done, he never seemed very comfortable doing that
James
show with us.
James was afraid that he was going to say something that got him in trouble.
Because he was having his little breakout year replacing Bell, and you could just tell he was uncomfortable, did not want to upset a good thing. E-Rob, we have heard, be very gregarious and give Donnie a hard time. But you're right. He's locked in. You know what?
He was in Belichick mode last night with
Donnie.
He's
not like it's a throwaway game, is he? He's in, no, we can win the division, and that is very valuable currency to us as players.
So he's my pick as an X factor for this game, because I still think with Baltimore, the key to beating them is shutting down their run game. They're more proficient at it. They're better at it as a team than anybody in the NFL. So it's not me, like, falling on some, like, trope about football or ascribing some maxim about how every team has to stop the run and that's how you win every game. I wouldn't say that against, say, the Bengals in Week 18 or something
it's
like
the complete
that.
Complete opposite with the Bengals.
It's this game in particular, and even though he doesn't play 90% of the snaps, when I think of a physical football game and trying to bog down their run, especially with Derrick Henry in the mix, like the biggest monster running back in the entire NFL, I think of Roberts as a guy that's fundamental in doing that. So, like, he strikes me as a guy that if the Steelers win this game and they win kind of a rock fight, low-scoring game, I'm going to come on the air Monday and credit him for being paramount to them settling down or keeping the Ravens from getting going in that aspect of the game, which is still their bread and butter, even with the year Lamar Jackson is having thrown the ball, Chris.
Let me ask you a question about X factors. Is the state is the interpretation or the spirit of this segment that I pick a Steelers X factor for this game? Because I have two.
Yes.
Okay. Can I tell you what the Ravens one was if I was going to be able to bend the rules?
Well, maybe the Ravens one, you take the person that has to do something about that guy. And that
it's not really, though. No, it's not. It wasn't. It
why
was
is
just,
it John Harbaugh?
Yes. Would you like to try to read my mind completely and say, why was I going to say it?
See, that's another band that I think is very good in person that I've seen several times. The Killers.
If you
can
could,
you read my mind? Eh. You
know, I like some of their acoustic. Like, they have a piano version of When You Were Young, which is a great tune. Somebody told me. Somebody pointed out to me that Mr. Brightside, the lyrics are the same in the first verse as the second verse. He just says the emphasis on one word differently. Like that phrase, coming out of my cage and I'm doing just fine. And then in the next verse he goes, coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine.
Do you know that
that's it.
Do you know that their lead singer singled me out as at a concert like a rock star would single out like a very attractive woman in the crowd?
What did he single you out
by
for?
By complete accident.
You're not a very attractive woman, Pony.
No, I'm not. Oh, yes, I am, actually. Remember when we did the switch
the face
thing?
Swaps?
Yes. And everyone was like, damn, like, female Pony is a smoke show. Yes, you do remember that.
I do. I'm trying to think which one of us just got absolutely panned, and it was just essentially like,
I think it was...
Female so-and-so is just wretched looking. There were people made very uncomfortable by the face swap of you for that thing.
Yeah, they're like, this is off-putting, but I'm turned on by female Pony. Anyways,
no,
I'll tell you what happened.
Okay.
So I was at, the Killers played a concert with Wiz Khalifa over here at Stage A. It was actually awesome.
It's right kind before, of a strange bedfellows
right
concert.
Right before the Steelers season started. This is going back like 10 years now. And I didn't know that they were from Vegas. And I had a UNLV hat on, and I think the guy, like, thought that I had come from Vegas or was, like, a super fan because I had a UNLV Runnin' Rebels hat on.
Yes.
And he, like, pointed at me, like, during one of their breaks in songs and praised me for being, like, one of their giant fans, which is not even true.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like them. I think they're fine. But was, like, this is, like... Like looked at me like this is a
funny
man that's been with us from the beginning, and I'm like,
this guy goes back to Vegas with us. No, so
that's a true story.
So wait, what? So oh yeah,
so John Harbaugh.
The read my mind thing. I want you to actually tell me if you can figure out why I was going to say him.
Because does Harbaugh just coach the game and play it straight, or does he try to continue to be the smartest guy in the stadium, and he wants the game to look a certain way because afterwards he wants to get credit for the Ravens winning the game.
Close. That's like an evergreen thing with him, but no, it's this. And I don't think Nick Sirianni is like an awesome head coach. In fact, I think he can be at times the weak link for the Eagles.
Yeah.
You've got like Big Dom on the sideline. I know I said I never wanted to hear his name again, but here I am saying it. Having to separate Sirianni from one of his position coaches, like I just think he's a hothead. But to Sirianni's credit, like the team is a reflection of their coach. When the Steelers looked like they were actually sort of threatening in that game, the Eagles got a turnover that was gifted to them, and then they just buried the Steelers. Like, and I think that's a reflection of your coach. Your coach basically says sweep the leg at that point, and they did. John Harbaugh's decision to not give Derrick Henry the ball, not let him touch it one time in the fourth quarter of a game that came down to essentially one play, is mind-bending. Like, it is one of the bigger pieces of coaching. We get on Tomlin because he has, like, time management and in-game, like, sort of decision-making. Do I punt here? Do I go for it here, right? In terms of, like, a philosophical just piece of coaching malpractice, that is way up there, man. That dude is still the second leading rusher in the league and is still a monster and was ripping off five a carry against the Steelers. It wasn't like they were stopping him. John Harbaugh put the air brake on the guy himself. So that's why I was going to say him. However, I do have a Steelers answer to actually do this the way you would prefer it be done. It's Calvin Austin for me. We have come to a consensus on this show where I think like the power of my like gentle, persistent rhetoric has won out. He's had himself a pretty nice little year.
He's a good number three wide receiver. Missing a two, but he's good at his
role. He's a good shot
offense.
Player guy. He's a good guy who can beat somebody deep. And like when I think of the great wide receiver threes throughout the years, I think of like a Brandon Stokely on some of those Colts teams. Or like, you remember Jake Reed when Moss came on the scene in
Minnesota?
How about
Antoine Randall-El?
Antoine Randall-El, like, again, not maybe a prototype, but he was out there.
I don't know if Calvin Austin is a prototype.
Well, he's sort of like a true slot build guy, but he's more of a deep threat.
He's built like a munchkin.
Most slot receivers are tiny little fellas, most of them.
He's like a Keebler elf.
George Pickens, we see the practice report. It's out there, Pony. DNP. TJ Watt, LP. And so we think George Pickens probably not trending in the right direction. I firmly believe that to win this game this time around, because I think Lamar will be better than he has been against them and will have probably statistically his best game, they're going to need a cheapo shot play or two. Like, they're going to need to take 35, 40 yards in a chunk, or just have a guy, they're at the 27-yard line and it's 3rd and 3. Here's a 27-yard touchdown to Calvin Austin. If Pickens isn't out there, somebody has to give them that element. They don't seem particularly willing to let Mike Williams be that player. So I'm saying Calvin Austin. You get like, he is probably the guy, would you agree with this, of all the healthy players they'll have, who could impact the game the absolute most on their offense with the least amount of touches? Like, he could have 3 catches and could be a pivotal, pivotal force in this game.
Warren is the other guy that I would say.
But I'm saying on low touch,
a big play.
Low touch numbers, though. Like, Austin could literally touch the ball 3 times in this game.
I mean,
and
Williams
be the reason
did that
they
against
win
Washington.
It.
He had one touchdown. But yeah, I get what you're saying. The last time they played Baltimore, what do you think Austin's stat line was in that game?
Did he go? He didn't go over. Didn't he have, like, 2 or 3 catches?
What do you think?
I'm going to say 2 for 45.
He had 1 for -1.
Huh? I must be thinking about him in the Bengals game.
He had 1 for -1. Jefferson had no catches, no yards. Skowronek had 1 for 4. Pickens was targeted 12 times, was 8 for 89.
You just said you said another name right now that could be an X factor right there in that little rundown.
Skowronek. Because he's a blocker?
Well, he's a dirtbag type of player, and that's what they like to call him, and it's a term of endearment. This is a dirtbag-only game.
So Pickens had 89 on 8 catches.
Mm-hmm.
The other Steelers receivers combined had 3 catches for 3 yards.
That's it?
Yeah. 3 for 3.
Not great. I don't know. I think they need something from Austin. He just has to have one of those games, I think, where even though we agree that he's probably a perfect wide receiver 3, that he plays like a 1. He just gets behind somebody. And that's been a much better pass defense since they lost to the Steelers the first time, even though they held the Steelers mostly in check.
Is the Malzi the Snowman single getting rave reviews? Charlie, what are you seeing? Are you seeing positive thoughts on it? Thumbs
you want me to
up,
read some of
down?
The Twitter commentary here?
Anything good? Charles?
A few texts are saying that it's a good one. My favorite one is, I wish Dom the Intern could have been involved, but he was singing the Alvin and the Chipmunks Christmas album.
This is groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking.
Let's go, Joe. Farkles McGee says, Pomp is rethinking his life choices.
I think that's a good one.
Honestly, it's cute, but don't make us think it was a musical.
Who's doing that?
That's just some guy. Just tweeted
who's making anybody think it's Wicked or something like that.
I don't know. Hello and welcome to Clown School. That's a GIF that got responded. Kind of sucked, to be honest, says Rosky Boy. I still like the guy who said, I hear Top Dog Law in the background, so you know it's legit.
Let's hear it again and see if we can hear Top Dog in the background, Charles.
Bear with me 1 second.
Well, hold on. I want to hear it again, Charlie. Pony, that was the raw, that was the demo version, remember, from the studio. So yeah. The slickly produced one. They sent this out to, like, Rick Rubin or whoever to produce it. It's not going to have that.
I agree overall with the sentiment. I am more, no offense to Joe's, actually, I did say the end of his song was terrible.
You said the end of the song was like Game of Thrones. It ruined an otherwise good effort.
Okay, no offense to the vocal stylings of Pomp, but I do think the Top Log, the Top Law guy is better.
Top Dog.
Top Dog Law is better than Malzie the Snowman.
Now, the Fans Christmas Chorus brings you Malzie the Snowman.
Oh, Malzie the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a giant bald head and a button nose, his favorite pitcher was Garrett Cole. Oh, Malzie the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the listeners know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Malzie danced around.
Oh, Malzie the snowman was alive as he could be. He used giant words and his favorite GM was a man named George McPhee.
Giant words, and he once did make no. It would have to take the giant words out of there, maybe.
No, all you have to say is was alive as he could be.
He used giant words, and while at Penn State,
all you have to say is, and he once made 9 straight threes. Done.
Yeah.
He used giant.
He used giant words.
Okay, you may be right. Just get rid of that part. Why do you need giant words in there? Why are we shoehorning in?
He used giant words, and while at Penn State, he once made 9 straight threes.
Perfect.
Dun, 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 dun.
Instead of friggin' George McPhee getting airdropped.
Why is the former Golden Knight general manager getting a shout-out?
I agree. Now Charlie throwing shots.
Oh, Charlie's a hockey, hockey man by trade.
I can just hear it in his voice. Charlie has no patience for it. Charlie's one of those guys who talk sports on a sports
station. No, because Charlie's here for mirth and fun.
Like, if you try to flip it into Jim Rutherford, maybe I understand it because it's local. But what did George McPhee do for the Pittsburgh area?
He used giant words, and his favorite penguin was Czarly Zalapski.
That's even better. But 9 straight threes would have just
9 straight threes was the – it was staring you in the face.
Would have been an exclamation point.
It would be like – you know what him not putting 9 straight threes in there for? It was like when somebody on the old Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Regis Philbin would literally get the first question wrong, and Regis is like trying with all his might to get them to pick the other answer, and they just go home with absolutely nothing. And then you wonder, how does that person exist in society?
I'm looking at the raw, unedited version of Malzie 9 straight threes in Bechtold's little folder here. All right. I don't know how this is, so.
Now let's hear it.
Oh, Malzie the snowman was alive as he could be. He used giant words and he made the claim that he once made 9 straight threes.
And he made the claim?
It happened.
I know it
did. Now that's a subtle shot at you.
Of course it is. Fred tweets in. Was alive as he could be. He used giant words in his full-time job. He plays Robin to Pony.
Oh, jeez.
Well, that's our friend Fred who likes to point out, he likes to remind me occasionally that I am, in his mind, a distant second fiddle.
2 minutes away.
That one's not a bad one, though. If you're going to make like a cutting line to me, I think Fred's there is a little better.
2 minutes away from... All Access with Aditi. We're live at Mike's Beer Bar. Come hang out for our Christmas karaoke event right now. A headline.